Let's get back to How to Tour Italy on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Anthony Capozzoli.
Welcome back to the How to Tour Italy radio show, and I wanted to put a little shout-out back to Patrice and Papa Vero Villa Rentals for a wonderful segment and some very cool ideas about traveling to Italy and some wonderful villas to rent. And now we are welcoming my friend Kathy McKay from DreamOfItaly.com. How are you?
Hey, good. You had Pat on. I know Pat, too.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She was on the show for the last segment, and she's just great. I mean, I love her and her villas.
We're both terrier. She has a terrier. I have a terrier. So we love Italy and terriers.
Indeed. I have a little Jack Russell Terrier. What kind of terrier do you have?
You do not. No wonder I like you. I like terrier people. They're very, you know, they're very persistent and smart.
Yes, indeed.
Bossy, but
stubborn.
I have a fox terrier. I have a wire hair fox terrier.
That's great. I've got a short hair Jack Russell, and she's, I have to admit, a little overweight, but that's okay. I love her anyway.
Oh, it's okay. Too much pasta.
Too much pasta. And you know what? I try to give her exercise and stuff, but she's about 5 or 10, maybe more, 10 pounds. About
Where is she going for the summer?
She is going to be with my girlfriend's parents, who also have a dog, and they love her to death, so she's going to be able to stay with her, which is pretty cool.
Good.
So it's great. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm really looking forward to this segment with you because we're going to be talking about some very cool books to read before or during your trip to Italy.
Yeah, and I was just sort of making a list. It's hard to pick, you know? I have so many favorites.
It is.
And I kind of came up with like 10 that I really like.
I've got a list myself, but I'm going to let you kick it off.
Okay, we'll have to just shoot back and forth.
Please.
Like brainstorming. There's this book I love. It's probably one of my top five or top three, and I know not that many people know about it. It's called Blood Washes Blood. It's about Sicily, and the author is Frank Viviano. He was a journalist and for, I think, the San Francisco Chronicle, and he decides to go back to his ancestral hometown, true story, in Sicily and solve the case of this murder case. And it involves the mafia and family history and Italian-Americans and sort of the cultural differences. And it's really, really, really good.
That sounds awesome. Now, that's one I hadn't heard of, and I'm gonna get it because I've got to hand it to any American that goes to Sicily to try to solve what turned out apparently to be a mafia murder. It's pretty gutsy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something. It was something. It's a crazy story, but it is really good. So what's one of? Give me one of yours so I can see if I have it on my list.
I'm a little bit different from a historical perspective. I'm a big fan of Giorgio Vasari's Lives of the Artists. I think it gives people wonderful insight on the artists that they're going to enjoy, and I think it brings all the work that they've done that you're going to love to life.
Yeah, that's a really big one. You'll see I have sort of a theme in my books. I really like I really like World War II history, so I have a couple recommended. Naples 44, it's by Norman Lewis, and it's about, he was an American soldier stationed in Naples, and it will just give you such a profound understanding of how bad it was during World War II. And, you know, how poor everybody was. There's also a book called War in Val d'Orcia by Iris Arrigo. And she had this big estate in Tuscany called La Foce, and you can actually go and rent a villa there now, these days. So those are a couple of really good, interesting kind of books that have to do with the war.
That's awesome. See, and that is a huge topic. I know there are lots of wonderful tours available throughout Italy that you can go see more famous battle sites and some scenes that are famous made from, you know, either historic battles have taken place or famous people came from that town that are, you know, well-decorated vets. And I believe the most decorated World War II American veteran earned most of his medals on battles in Italy, actually.
Wow.
And I, for the life of me, I cannot remember his name. I'm going to try to think of it. But I believe he was an Irish chap, not an Italian, and did good things over there for the war effort for the Allies.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely something. And the other book I would contribute, and forgive me if these are a little bit stale, but these are books that I love, but I think reading The Divine Comedy, at least The Inferno by Dante, is something that brings to life, gives you wonderful insight on the Italian culture and in a sense of how they thought and how strongly he was bucking the system with The Divine Comedy. So that's, if you're going to read any of it, The Inferno is probably the one to read.
Yeah. Let's see. We have good lists because we have very different lists. I have, where am I here? Let's see. The Italians by Luigi Barzini is a good.
It is good.
Sort of introduction to why these people are crazy. No, just kidding.
That's true.
You know, but actually, in a similar book is La Bella Figura by Beppe Severini, yeah. which is pretty funny. It's sort of, again, it's a little bit more lighthearted look at sort of why Italian culture and why they kind of act the way they do. Those are both really good books to get sort of a basic understanding.
Oh, those are great books. I've read The Italians. I've not read the other one, but The Italians was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend Michelangelo and the Pope's Ceiling. It's a quick read, but it gives you so much great insight on the character of Michelangelo and the relationship with the Pope and the creation of the Sistine Chapel beyond what a lot of other books go into, which is great. And just to that same end, I think I would talk about The Agony and the Ecstasy of Michelangelo, which goes in a lot more depth about his whole life and all of his artwork, or his more popular one anyway.
Yeah. Let's see. I also have Christ Stopped at Eboli by Carlo Levi, which is really about the South and the poverty of Southern Italy. And then that was written, I think, in the 30s. I believe he was actually exiled to Eboli and Basilicata by actually, Eboli was the name for it was this name they used for there's a real name for the town. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But he was exiled there by Mussolini. And then this author I know named David Yaden, he actually went back to the town a few years ago and lived there for a year, and his book is Seasons in Basilicata. So if you're interested at all in Southern Italy, those two are really good.
And the other thing, too, Kat, I read, as we're kind of on the show here, your last Twitter, which is cool, and you're going to be posting some of these books we talk about,
and,
which is very, very cool. So that and Kat does a great job on Twitter, Dream of Italy, is her handle on obviously on Twitter. So check it out, because a lot of these books that we're talking about, we posted there from her, so you can see for yourself if they're worth a read.
Yeah, and I'm going to put a list on my blog, which you can click to from dreamofitaly.com.
Wonderful.
And on Twitter, I ask, or even on the blog, you know, other people could comment and tell us what books they like, because as we can see, there's a huge...
Oh, yeah.
Variety.
Definitely. And the other two, there's two other ones I would offer. I've got a huge list here, but a book titled Renaissance Rivals. It gets into, I guess, the agony between the artists in terms of rather Agon, I think, or the struggle that they go through to win the best commissions and the competitive nature of the artwork that they create and how they're all intermingled, which is a very, very good book. It's a great book. It's a little bit more art historical, but they do a wonderful job of describing how it, you know, what it was like back with Michelangelo and Da Vinci and all those great artists. And then another throwback to history, I think, but the Aeneid by Virgil is wonderful.
Yeah. Wow, we have a pretty interesting list between the two of us. So.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so it's you know, any kind of anywhere you're going in Italy, there's usually some book that has to do with it or several. So it's kind of fun to try to read up, definitely before you go, because you just don't have time when you're there.
No, it's
like
true.
Renting a villa and sitting around a pool.
I agree. And why don't you give me two more, and I'll give you two more, and then we've got about 30 seconds.
Two more. Let's see. A Venetian Affair by Andre de Robillant. He actually ends up finding this is a recent book. He ends up finding these letters from his ancestor, from an ancestor who was a Venetian, and had this sort of Venetian woman who had this like torrid forbidden affair, but it's all in their letters back and forth. And then A Thousand Days in Venice by Marlena de Blasi. She's written like three or four books about Italy, and there are one's on Sicily, but A Thousand Days in Venice is how she meets her husband, nonfiction, in Venice, and it's a really incredible story of how they have seen each other maybe twice before and then meet on this Venetian street, and it's really incredible. So that's a fun book as well.
That's awesome. And I would offer Genius in the Design. It's about the struggle between Bernini and Borromini, and it's wonderful to read before you go to Rome, because it shows you all the great insight between all the artwork and sculpture that you'll see. And a bit of a another great book about Rome is As the Romans Do. It's wonderful. And not only can you...
Alan something.
Yes. He's wonderful. And not only can you read the book, but you can actually take guided walking tours with him because he still lives there.
Yeah. I read that book a while ago. Definitely. That's a good one. There's so many good ones.
I know. It's great. We got a great list here.
You and I have a couple books in us, too. By the end, you know, next few years, we'll each have a book out, maybe.
I would love that. That'd be great. We can maybe co-author, or you can write my prelude or something. It'd be great.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Well, Kathy, it's always awesome to have you on the show, and I'm looking forward to talking to you next week on the air.
Great. All right.
Talk to you soon. Ciao.
Bye.
Well, now we are actually going to flip or change gears a little bit, and I want to thank Kathy for those wonderful contributions about the books. But we're going to have Miss Janice Mancuso on to wrap up the show. Janice, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so excited because we're going to be talking about Italian contributions to America.
Yeah.
And tied to your wonderful project, 31 Days of Italians.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I want to say 31 Days of Italians is available. Just type that in a Google search, and you can do it either by the number 31 or write it in, and it should come right up, and you can find all the people I talk about and a lot more there. Go to the index of names. The first person I want to talk about is in honor of the Stanley Cup playoffs
nice.
That we're going through right now, and that's Frank J. Zamboni.
I love it. Let's definitely talk about this. That's great.
Of course, the wonderful Zamboni that almost everybody loves.
Everybody loves it. I love it. I don't even like hockey, and I love the Zamboni.
Well, of course, the official name is the Zamboni Ice Resurfacing Machine. And I'm not going to get, because I have a few people I want to talk about, I'm not going to get too into really anything about places in Italy to travel to. I'm just going to mention that
sure.
both of Frank Zamboni's parents are from Italy. He was born in Utah, but his parents come from, his father was from Trentino, Alto Adige, and mm-hmm. his mother was from Piemonte, both in the northern, you know, area of Italy.
Yeah.
They married in the United States and settled in California. Later on, his family had an ice rink in California, and they had to keep on resurfacing the ice, and it took about an hour and a half for that to happen. So he developed a machine that would shave the ice, remove it, and then add a thin layer of water onto it.
That's awesome.
He received his first patent in 1949, and he has 15 patents. He died in 1988. His son now runs a business, and it was first used when he created the Zamboni. It was first used, of course, like I said, for the family's ice skating rink. But then Sonia Henney, she was a very popular ice skater at the time.
Mm-hmm.
She saw the machine and she loved it, so she took it with her when she did her ice shows. And then from there, in 1960, it was used in the Olympics. So a lot of times we only, when we do even think about the Zamboni, we only associate it with ice hockey.
Right.
But it's used any place where there's an ice skating rink. And it is the most popular. There are a couple other companies that do have similar machines out there, but the Zamboni is the one.
Well, that's really cool because I've been to a few hockey games with some family and friends and things. And anytime the Zamboni gets on the ice, people go crazy
yes.
for it.
There's actually a song called I Want to Drive the Zamboni, and I have a link. If you go to technology, scroll down to the bottom where you'll see Frank J. Zamboni and his biography, there's a link there to the YouTube video with lots of different types of pictures of the Zamboni and the song, which is kind of catchy.
That's awesome. Well, very, very cool. So who else you got? Let's talk about another one.
Okay, the next one is in honor of the new CEO of the Bank of America. Okay, I'm not sure how many people actually know this, but the Bank of America was originally the Bank of Italy, which was started in California in 1904 by Amedeo Pietri Giannini. And he came to, he was born in California, he was born in San Jose. His parents came from Liguria, a small village about 35 miles east of Genoa.
Hmm.
Okay, and his father died when he was very young, his mother remarried, and he left school. He really didn't care too much about school, so he left school and he started helping his stepfather in the produce business. Within 5 years, now he was about 13 or 14 when he left school, within 5 years he was a partner.
Wow.
And at 31, he retired.
That must be nice.
Yeah. But even though he retired, he was so, I guess, he was in a few of the banks in the area at the time. And at the time, the banks were only for the wealthy. If you were not wealthy, you could not get a loan. It just didn't work, you know, any other way. And he was a little bit annoyed with the way the banks were, so he established his own bank, the Bank of Italy, to help a lot of the immigrants. Of course, there was a great, immigration
sure.
of Italians in California at the time, and a lot of them were in the produce industry, agriculture, farming, canning, all of that. So he established the bank, and was very successful. 2 years later, after the San Francisco earthquake, he was the only one who was able to lend money because he managed to go to the bank, take the money that was there. However it was destroyed, he was able to get the money, and he was able to lend it out to people. And he helped build rebuild California. He provided money to United Artists, the California wine industry, and even helped Walt Disney when they were producing Snow White. He helped them with the funding of that.
That's amazing. And I'll tell you, Janice, this kind of stuff is fantastic. And I'm looking forward to Janice is going to continue being a part of the show when I'm in Italy doing the How to Tour Italy project. And we are unfortunately out of time today, Janice. I do apologize. However, this was a great segment, and I'm looking forward to having you on next week. And it's going to be wonderful. So thank you so much. Visit 31 Days of Italians, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the How to Tour Italy radio show. Ciao.